I do want to, as I've poured over having the order of our service this morning, and have come to the Lord and said, Lord, how do you wrap something like that? What is that all about? What is the message you want us to take home? What is the scriptural truth that we should explore? The Lord has led me very clearly, and I believe us then, to Isaiah chapter 6. And we'll just be there for a few minutes. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah and the 6th chapter. And in preparation for this message, I've quickly explored the occasions when men saw the Lord. And interestingly, each time that it is clearly identified that men saw the Lord, there's a great similarity in the circumstances that they are facing. And so consider, in the Old Testament, Abraham saw the Lord just before the destruction of Sodom and the deliverance of his people. Moses saw the Lord just before the judgment of Egypt and the deliverance of his people. In the New Testament, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration saw the Lord just before the destruction of Jerusalem and the deliverance of his people. And in the book of Revelation, John sees the Lord as a prelude to the destruction of the nations and the deliverance of his people. In every one of those cases, the interaction with God is a declaration of the grace of God and a call to his service every time. Every time. Thus, it ought not to surprise us as we come to Isaiah chapter 6 that we see those same characteristics. And interestingly, in those circumstances, as we lead up in a crisis to that God revelation, not just of his person, but also of his purpose, I think the psalmist in Psalm 10 captures what is going on in the desert experience of the hearts of his people when he writes, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" If you look at Psalm 10, the psalmist comes to discover God hasn't gone anywhere. But there's this desert feeling in the hearts of his people. Anybody in the midst of our present circumstances at times feel that way? God, where are you? Isaiah is no different. In fact, when we come to Isaiah chapter 6, I want you to understand in the unfolding of that prophetic book, Isaiah chapter 6 is not in chronological order. He starts with understanding the conditions of the nation, and probably what we encountered in Isaiah chapter 6 is what happened with Isaiah at the beginning of his writings. But he lets us see the setting of the stage and the history and affairs of men and the workings of God among the affairs of men as then we get this understanding of his call and commission. And thus in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am. Send me.' And he said, 'Go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind to their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? And we'll end our reading there. How many of you expected the message of God to a willing preacher that God just gave to Isaiah? It's one of the puzzlements of this passage of Scripture. Wait a minute. You want me to go preach so they won't hear? You want me to go declare so they won't listen? Maybe I really do qualify as a preacher. I can do that. The challenge is in preaching so they will. What does that even mean? What is God saying? What is that all about? I hope we'll understand that in just a few minutes as we finish it. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to consider just a couple of things. One, the setting, because it's important in us understanding what this means, not just for Isaiah, but what this means for us. The setting of Isaiah's ministry. We don't have time to go there, but if you go back to Isaiah chapter 1, God declares, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a guilt-laden people. The setting of this encounter that Isaiah has with the Lord is set in the sinfulness of the people. And you will see it before Isaiah chapter 6, and you'll see it even more all the way through chapter 30. The setting of this viewing of the Lord and the understanding of who He is and seeing His passion for His people is in the midst of brokenness and sinfulness. But then I want you also to see, as we come to Isaiah chapter 6, that it's not just set in the sinfulness of the people, it's set in the shifting of the politics. It was when King Uzziah died. It was almost as if in the tension that there had to be a change in the earthly king before Isaiah could come and grasp the awesomeness of the divine king. There was a dissettling. Anybody feel a dissettling politically in our day? And all of those led to a third thing in the setting, and that is the sovereignty of the potentate of the universe. That in the understanding of the sinfulness of the people, which in our day there's zero question, we don't have to look very hard to see that in our culture. In the midst of a culture that is marked by a dissettling and the shifting of politics so that people don't even feel secure in their nation anymore, God sets an environment in which whenever we are able to fully behold who He is, we say, ah, God, there is something different about You. Nations rise and nations fall. People of greatness declare their glory and then it crumbles. But God, You never change. You are awesome in Your beauty. You are just in Your dealings. You are righteous and good. You are merciful and gracious. You are holy. You are God. Oh, friends, I declare to you today that as we look around and we look through the eyes of Fox News and CNN and everything else, listen to me, hear me. Yes, we are to see the sinfulness of the world around us, and there's a purpose in that. And yes, there are times that we are to see the shifting politics and the landscape of time, because hear me, nations never bring us security, but we are to see them so that we lift our eyes above the fray and we look on our unchanging and unchangeable God. Isaiah saw the Lord. So then I want us to see the sequence of Isaiah's commission. What does God do? And the first thing I want you to see is Isaiah saw God. Anybody here this morning say, oh man, I need to see the Lord. Am I alone? God in this setting allows Isaiah to see him and notice what he sees of him. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. First of all, understand that he saw God as sovereign. I use the word potentate, unquestionable ruler, one with all authority. Now understand, the affairs of men cause us and our humanists to look around and say, is anybody in control of all of this? And in the midst of those circumstances, at the commissioning to his life work, God allows Isaiah, calls Isaiah to allow him to see who he is. And above all of that, with all of its question marks that the psalmist so well verbalizes as, God, where are you? God allows Isaiah to see him sitting on the throne of the universe. He is God. And he is controlling all things. I saw him sitting upon a throne. I saw him high and lifted up. And you know what that tells me? He seated and dust doesn't see him seated upon a throne as the sovereign. He sees him separated from the affairs of time. He's high and lifted up. And what that tells me is that God is not changed by the circumstances that he has ordained to change us. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Lord of the ages. He is the God above time. He is the God who is intimately integrating himself into all the circumstances of life. And he is orchestrating those circumstances, working all things together for salvation good to those who love him and the called according to his purpose. But understand, time is his tool. It doesn't change him. Your God is not fickle. Your God is not driven by the emotions that so often cause us to be in turmoil. God never has known fear. God never has known a sense of despair that leads to depression. God is unchanged by the fact that he is changing circumstances. He's set apart. You know what that means? When I find nothing upon which to rest my feet, and maybe even more difficult upon which to rest my heart, I can rest it firmly on him. Isaiah saw the Lord. Every single time we have this occasion where someone declares they've seen the Lord, there's always a second step, and he didn't just see the Lord. Isaiah saw himself. And in seeing himself in light of seeing God, it almost is a reflection of what was going on in his heart when he says, woe is me. We know the phrase well from the King James, for I am undone. It really is an expression of his utter brokenness. Thus I am lost. I am hopeless before God. I have no righteousness upon which to stand. I'm in his presence and there is nothing with which I can be shielded. I am totally other than him. I am broken. He is great and I am little. He is powerful and I am weak. He is righteous and I am sinful. He is good and I am broken. Seeing God allows us finally with clarity to see ourselves. Are you there this morning? Do you have a proper perspective of yourself? You know, when we fix our eyes on the circumstances of life, an interesting thing can happen. We become judgmental. We live in a world of comparison and we look at the brokenness and we aren't quite as broken and thus we think we are fixed. We begin to look at the hypocrisy in the world and we miss the hypocrisy in ourselves. We begin to see the selfishness in the world and we miss the selfishness in ourselves. And there's something about fixing our eyes on the transient stuff of life that allows us to get an altered perspective of ourselves. And thus, when we lift our eyes above the fray looking for hope, we find it in God. But when we do, we get an accurate view of ourselves. And it is secondary to having a proper view of God, but it is necessary to have a proper view of ourselves in light of who our God is. And it leaves us in a place where Isaiah was. He had no plea but God. And thus he cries out. And thus, he had a proper view, not just of himself, but then of his people. It's not just that the world is broken according to our standards, it's that the world is broken in light of who God is. And it left him with a different heart. God, why are they against me? Was where he started. And he finishes by looking at God and wondering, God, why are they against you? And it turns him to a sense of mission. That ministry is not about fixing things in the world so that I can live a little easier. Ministry is about fixing things in the world for God's glory. God, they need to be rightly related to you. And so we see God do a wonderful thing. We have here a picture of his commissioning, his call, and some have actually said maybe of Isaiah's conversion. This picture of the cleansing, the tongs taking a coal from the altar, and thus there being a picture of the atoning of his sin that he could be reconciled to God. And notice one of the things that it did in making him right with God, it made him usable by God. And thus we see then him now having a proper view of those around him and God saying, who will go for us? Who will I send? And with a very different, humbled heart, Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. And God immediately puts him to work, declaring his truth. One of the things I want you to see, though, that comes out of this commission is God gives him a message to declare, and he helps him to understand, Isaiah, this won't be easy. You may think, man, I've had this encounter with God, and now I see myself, and I see God, and I see the world, and here we go, and about 3 weeks in, when no one wants to listen, it's really easy to quit. And God tells him from the beginning, that's not what this is about, Isaiah. You go declare my glory and declare my message for my glory alone. And allow me to work among my people in my way. Our task is the same. You say, man, I would see that. If I could just see God, God, let me see what Isaiah saw. As I close, I want you to listen to something. The author of Hebrews says this, long ago, think Isaiah, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Listen to the language, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Oh, friend. If Isaiah could be here this morning, I believe he would say to you, you know what, it was incredible as a prophet. I got this vision and I saw God upon his throne. But I want you to know, I'm jealous. Because you saw Jesus. I ask you this question, in contemplating our Jesus and who he is, have you ever felt like Isaiah describes the way he felt when he saw the Lord? You see, God declares to us that Jesus is the exact imprint of his glory. That he is the Word, meaning that he is the one that is the depiction of God. We are called to become enthralled with the Jesus-likeness of God. I challenge you today to gaze upon the Lord by going and examining Jesus. And as you do, view him in all the splendor that Isaiah beheld of his God. And as you do, allow yourself to see yourself in light of who Jesus is, and in particular, in light of what Jesus did. Why did he die on a cross? And when you answer that question personally, you will realize that you are exactly where Isaiah saw himself. And then ask yourself, what has Jesus commissioned me to do? And you will find it very similar to the commission that God gave to Isaiah. This morning, I hope as we have listened, I hope as we have participated, I hope as we have sung everything from How Great Thou Art to Amazing Grace, that your heart has become enthralled with God. I hope as you have listened that you have become engaged in the examination of yourself. And I hope that as we leave here in light of those two truths, that we will be a commissioned people to go to a world and say, you must know my God. For that's who they need to know. Will we say, God, I know who I am in light of who you are. But here I am. God, I know who you are in light of how they think about you, and they need to know you. So God, send me. Even though the task will be difficult, I will keep on for God's glory. Isaiah saw the Lord. Will we? Let's pray.